Yeah, so I'm here interviewing Thoughtforms. Would you care to introduce yourself, starting with the young lady to my left?
I'm Charlie.
Charlie, thank you.
I'm Deej.
Deej, thank you.
I'm Guy.
Thank you, Guy. Chris, do you want to introduce yourself?
I'm Chris, I'm just an observer.
Excellent. And I'm Kev, but you don't really need to know that. So one of the things I wanted to do with this interview was try and avoid all of the boring questions. So I suppose first question, what's the most boring question you've been asked so far, excluding this one? No? Okay, cool.
I don't know, what boring questions have we had?
I don't know. What's Bristol like? Or
something? Yeah, what is Bristol like? It's because you guys aren't actually from Bristol.
No.
I always find that quite funny, that you're kind of associated with Bristol. I know you sort of played quite a lot in Bristol.
Yeah, I studied there for 3 years.
And yeah. You're still living there now, right?
No, I'm back home in Wiltshire.
No one lives in Wiltshire.
Yeah. Yeah. My time there was alright. It was a lot of time I spent in my room most of the time, and the Bristol Rovers and the crowds cheering every fucking weekend, which woke me up.
Right.
Next to Gasset.
Pretty much next to it.
Sure, yeah.
That was my experience of the north of Bristol anyway, which wasn't that pleasant.
It's the horrendous gas. They are shocking people. So that's kind of quite a bad question to start with. Right, what's the most boring question? But there's this kind of thing that I'm kind of interested in how the rock and roll narrative gets quite perverted by this idea that it's still exciting. And I kind of think that there's something about, something impressive about the spirit of people who can carry on playing in spite of the fact that you're kind of drilling around and, you know, the sound check is... Does it get monotonous on tour already, or is it not too bad? Or
not so much monotonous. It's just like it gets a bit of a blur, doesn't it?
Yeah, definitely.
Every day's the same sort of thing, but also different. So it's a double-sided coin.
I guess the fun of it is trying to work in each different venue and
it's always interesting.
Remember what we're supposed to be.
You've sent me photos of dogs and cats while being on tour, haven't you? So that must be keeping it.
Yeah. So, if a venue's got a dog, then it's fine. Or a cat.
Yeah.
Or any sort of
animal. Is that when you know you've genuinely arrived and you get to demand a cat or a dog on the ride?
Oh, that's a good idea, actually.
What's your favourite sort of dog? Yeah.
I used to like sausage dogs, but then I was attacked by one.
Are you still doing the sausage dogs flying kites?
I gave up after the attack.
Oh really?
Yeah.
Can you explain the sausage dogs flying kites?
I was at a festival with our label manager Reg, and we were doing the merch together, and we were drawing pictures for each other, and he drew me a picture of a sausage dog flying a kite, so I decided to start collecting them. So if anyone wants to send me one, then that would be welcome. I think I'm over the
phobia
now.
Yeah.
Well, maybe you can get over the phobia
by
appreciating pictures of sausage dogs flying kites.
Yeah.
So I drew the best one.
No, you drew the most offensive one. But Chris drew the best one.
Is that an equivocation in your mind that the best is also the most offensive? Deej.
Yeah.
Oh, there was a question from the fan forum actually, which was Deej, why are you such a prick?
Because,
what do you think?
I hang out with Static too much.
Yes, he is a prick. Static, for the people at home, is a drummer, recorder based in Bath, is he?
Yeah.
Plays in Hampshire. Yeah.
No. That's
another thing I was going to say was there's a real interesting thing where you kind of you went on tour with Quartet last year, 2012, was that a great exciting experience, or was it a lot of standing around? Yeah.
Bloody lucky.
Shit your pants, vomit, experience.
Yeah, expel everything from your body.
Yeah. Who's the worst farter on stage?
Me.
Really?
Yeah.
Does it just get a bit exciting?
It gets a bit overwhelming sometimes.
I always wonder whether or not drummers kind of end up backing out of bands because they're always going to be downwind.
But luckily, most of the stages on Port Said were open air and very big, so they just burst easily without getting to be.
So you've got sort of 10 foot between you and people. I mean, did you prefer playing in the States with Port Said, or was it stacking shelves in Saint?
I stack alcohol in Asda, and I've got to listen to the monotonous sound of Asda FM all day, every day.
What are they playing at the moment?
It's Asda FM's got their own radio station, which plays all the chart music.
Have you tried to get on the playlist?
That's a good idea. PRS.
Were you on the Radio 6 playlist, right?
We were on the Rebel playlist.
Yeah.
Is that like a C list thing, and then they?
Yeah, I think so.
Onto the B and then the A or something like that.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I don't think they've played us since then much, have they? Radio 6.
After the Rebel playlist.
Yeah, we've had a few plays. Yeah, fairly plays. But yeah, we're not playlisted. Yet.
But soon.
Hopefully.
Are you sort of conscious of the way your reputation is rising above? Because I know for years you've been playing sort of the back room of places like the Croft. You seem to be getting better gigs. I mean, obviously supporting Portishead, but even this evening it's the Scala rather than I don't know what a small venue is.
Power Lunch,
I think.
Where we're playing in March.
I guess kind of, I think when your new album's coming out, that's kind of having a new album, having something new to kind of put out, people has gains a little bit more interest again. Kind of, I guess Portishead things helped a lot, and also kind of having that album. Done finally.
I mean, were you really happy to get the album out on LF Records?
Yeah, we were. Yeah, it's great. We want to do loads more stuff like that. Yeah. Hopefully,
they sold out there.
Yeah, they sold out the tapes.
He hasn't given me one yet. Oh. Greg, if you're listening, I want one.
they're a great label. We'd love to do more things like that. We love doing the improv stuff and getting that out there just as much as. Stuff.
The radio pop stuff.
I mean, because there's an interesting contrast between some of your kind of noisier stuff, or even your solo projects. I mean, Charlie and Deej, you've got they're in a similar field to Thoughtforms, your solo projects, and then Guy, your solo project seems to be a kind of hip hop type thing almost. is that like a thing, or is it you're working on?
I don't have any sort of.
Do you not? I thought you had something that had the word panda in the name.
Yeah, he has.
That was just mucking around.
It was just after
school. Like, I bought Reason and on my PC and thinking around a bit of electronic and stuff.
It was really good though.
It was okay for a bit, but I think just lost my composition, sorry, creativity maybe. Fizzled out of it.
Asda and becoming a drummer.
Yeah. I'm definitely going to get back into it. So.
Yeah, you should have find yourself an MC.
Oh, that's
That's exciting. There was for the people at home, there's a crowd of doves that just descended from the ceiling. And that sounded accompanying. We're now all bathing in. Sorry, the Queen. Deej, Charlie, are you keeping up your solo projects? Do you have much time for this? Which are Silver Stairs of Ketchikan and Deej Derawan.
Am I promoting your solo
right? Not recently that much. I have got a kind of new set that I'm enjoying. That I play the Fear of Fiction, which I'll do a couple more times. But I want to record.
Are you playing the Woods Festival, aren't you? Not Woods Festival, the Wolf Festival.
Which I will play that set, because I enjoyed that set, because it was playing with projections and that was fun. But I want to record something. There's so much stuff that I've got that I need to record before it all disappears.
Do you find much time for that, or is it?
Sometimes.
And you're still in full-time work as well, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But kind of part-time, because this is kind of a priority, the band. And I guess my solo stuff is like the scrapings off of some corpse.
The nice. Thought form sloppy
well,
no, seconds.
What happens is that I use my time when I'm playing on my own, just to kind of like mess around and find different sounds, and then kind of and it helps me kind of like you know kind of to work and kind of and focus on things, and then I develop sounds that I can also use for thought form, but then I can use for myself that I don't. There's some of the sounds that I don't think thought forms would fit. I put into my solo stuff.
So it's all sort of a recycling of
noise. Just a shitload of noise.
Throw enough shit at the wall, and some of it's bound to stick.
Yeah.
No, because what I've heard of your solo stuff, I don't think I've ever seen it live, but it's always been pretty good. But I kind of would want to see it live. Is it a bit more loop based?
It needs to evolve a bit more. I think kind of. It needs to kind of. I want it to have a bit of a beat now.
You guys should get together, do the whole sort of
thing. I have him in mind, I haven't told him yet, when I'm doing my recording. I want to do now kind of a proper recording of my cello stuff, so I've got some of the stuff there. And then I'm going to steal some of his drum skills and then not pay him for it or anything.
Yeah. That's the most of it. Charlie Silver Stairs of Ketchikan, is that still ongoing?
I've been recording stuff. I'm doing a tape for Bum Tapes.
Oh, cool! Yeah. I didn't realise they were still going.
Yeah.
Brilliant.
But I've been supposed to do this tape for a couple of years now, and I've just done side A, so fingers crossed.
Was it C14 or longer than that?
I can't remember, to be honest, which is not very good, is it? But it's still writing stuff. I did my first solo gig in a few years last June at the Cube, and that was fun.
Because I suppose the reason I wanted to go down that route was to kind of try and emphasise that Thought Forms aren't a band who suddenly appeared with the second album, which isn't, to my mind, really the second album, because you've had odds and sods of, let's say, minor releases. I mean, this kind of
self-releases and
more
DIY stuff, handmade things.
Because that's kind of there's a big culture. I'm worried that Thought Forms are going to kind of appear in the public eye as the band who've kind of, because you've taken a slightly poppier turn with the Invader recent album, which is fucking brilliant, and there's loads of kind of lovely poppy hooks and, you know, bits of Sebadoh and Dinosaur Jr. and, you know, that sort of stuff. And obviously, do you like Sonic Youth? Is that an influence on you guys?
Fuck yeah.
Yeah. They do the job, don't they? I seem to remember before you said you get pissed off with people thinking you're the bassist or the person doing, like, the sound check person. Then, oh no, Charlie's a boy, he'll come on in a minute.
Yeah, totally. I mean, it happens all the time, actually. People, like, I get reviews saying, oh yeah, Charlie, like, playing bass and stuff. It's just like, we don't have a bass player. And I have played bass in bands before when I've been standing in for people, and I don't have a problem with that, but I have a problem with people calling me the bass player when, like, they don't even look, they just assume that because I'm a woman, I'm going to be playing bass. Well, the worst one was we played at ATP, and like the sound guy, Chris was helping us carry some stuff in, and the sound guy like started talking to him and saying, oh yeah, so you're in the band then, totally ignored me and wouldn't talk to me. He's like, well, no, I'm in the band. And then still he wouldn't talk to me. He was only talking to Deez. He was asking, you know, Deez questions about stuff, and Deez was just like, well, you've got to ask Charlie because she's the one who's in charge. So. Yeah, it just pisses me off really.
Which ATP was that?
The Alessandra Palace. So it's just, people just, either they ignore you or sort of just assume that, oh, so you're the singer, or so you're the bass player. No.
Or you're the groupie.
Yeah. When we did this guitar orchestra at St George's that I told you about.
Terry Wiley's in C, right?
Yeah, that one. And I after we sound checked and everything, I went up top to take a picture of the venue, and this woman who worked there just said to me, oh, so are you with the band then? So I was just like, oh yeah, because I assumed she meant, are we playing? But then she went, oh, which one? So it's like, I was the only woman playing in the orchestra, but it's just, that's the sort of thing, like, on a daily basis that you have to...
Yeah. So it comes up more frequently than is perhaps assumed by a lot of...
Yeah, people think it's, you know, people think, oh, everything's equal maybe, but you get a lot of stupid, like, stuff that maybe might seem small to other people, but it starts to really get on your tits after a while.
Do you have that sort of music theory side of things?
I did a bit, but I wasn't very good at it. I did A-level music, and I didn't really enjoy that side of it so much. So yeah, but I'd like to learn more. I can read music. I'd like to get better at that side of things. Like, because the more sort of stuff that Deej and I have been doing with guitar orchestras and working with really amazing musicians like, you know, John Parrish and Adrian Utley and Charles Hazelwood and people like that, it's, you know, sort of inspiring to to, you know, expand your abilities.
Mm. Well, maybe I should write some, because I've written some guitar quartet stuff recently, so maybe I'll get you guys in.
Yeah, we've been up for it.
Yeah. How was in C?
Really great.
It's just yourself and Deej playing as well?
Deej was there as
well. It was kind of, as soon as I kind of got used to practicing and kind of learned some more timing, because I'm even worse than Charlie with music. I don't have any music theory actually, kind of like, in the sense of reading music. Yeah,
because it looks quite complicated stuff,
isn't
it?
Yeah.
It's a lot of repetitiveness, but the kind of little changes were important to kind of learn, you know, the little times of getting things right was important. And sometimes, as a player in a rock band, you can not be, like, you know, you just lose yourself and doesn't need to be 100%, you know, kind of, but with NC, you have to be on time in the sections, not to kind of like go kind of, you have to stay in two phrases, you know, kind of, or two before, two after. But it was just kind of like learning the time signatures, really. But I have Abe gave me help, friends gave us help, he gave me help, so kind of I learned. And it's been quite such an amazing experience for me as a musician. I'm fucking laughing at me, isn't it? It's like a hiccup.
Yeah.
Do you know the story of, I don't know if this is true or not, but Acid Mother's Temple playing in the city, mm-hmm. and kind of missing the point of it, and Terry Wiley's sat at the side of the stage and listens to the first 5 minutes and turns to whoever's next to him and goes, well, they got the first note right. I like the idea of just taking a piece like in C and just saying, well, we'll play in C then. There'll be much more to it. Do you all have favourite keys or time signatures?
I like 7/8 very much, but 4/4 is always very nice because you can do whatever you want in 4/4.
You've developed a bit of a disco thing. Or you did. When I saw you in Brighton last year, there was a bit of a disco thing to your drum. There was loads of sort of going on, which I really like to see.
Yeah, I mean, I've always been sort of, I guess, classically trained originally, I guess. Like, I did a lot of sheet music reading and all that, and I've always loved playing with just with one time signature and just mucking around with all phrasing and stuff, and metric modulation, as they call it, and just, yeah, lots of, so.
Yeah, because you are one of my preferred rock drummers, because you know when even when you're in a four, you can't hit a boom, shh, boom, boom, shh.
Yeah, that's the thing.
You're always on the four.
It's hard for me to keep such a straight rhythm sometimes. I've always got to make it something different, you know, than the normal rock beat. You know.
But I mean, you do that in a way that doesn't say I'm a jazz wanker.
No, I don't like to overcomplicate. That's the thing. It's got to find it in the middle, I guess. I mean, for me.
How much room is there for? Because like I said earlier, that you've done sort of stuff with improvisation and you know, noise and small tape releases and things like that. Because I've only seen the one live show of the new stuff. Is there as much room for improvisation and extemporization as there was on the earlier stuff?
I guess landing, I guess, that, well, for me, I mean,
yeah,
live
for
me,
yeah.
I do whatever the fuck I want, and it doesn't really matter.
Well, landing, yeah, I can just, like, back and play. It's never the same.
No, and some junkers sort of varies a lot.
Yeah, kind of, but
not intentionally, perhaps, but it's,
Are you blaming Deej for that?
No. Well, yeah, it's just,
it can change. The thing is, it can go off, you know, kind of, and it can kind of be like the record, you know, kind of, or something like that, you know, kind of like, it can go, it just sounds sometimes like we can play it different, mm-hmm. or I can play it kind of a little bit out, you know, kind of, but it still sounds good in my mind, you know, kind of, but with landing, I can kind of like, I play it differently all the time.
Yeah, it's different every time. It's got sort of basic structure.
It's got the structure.
It's only like 2 notes.
Do you think you've written your Expressway yet?
No.
Have you ever tried to do that? That sort of the song where you get to. Oh, look, what was the Mogwai one? They used to do Like Harrods.
Yeah, that's amazing. I love that track.
The live versions as well, just that ability to just kind of leave everything feedback in for 20 minutes and still have the same song. Props. Do you want to give any props to any people you've been on tour with or records you've been listening to lately?
Esmond and the Witch are fucking amazing, and their records absolutely amazing, but they're just even better live and really noisy as fuck and absolutely lovely people, so it's really nice to have been on tour with them. We are very lucky that we seem to generally attract nice people to tour with, so
yeah,
it's good.
Amazing, yeah.
Yeah. Beacon,
yeah, and Portishead, of course, yeah. Just everyone's been really nice, and I mean, kind of, yeah, we've kind of had a good time on tour. It's nice when it works out like that. You hear so many bad stories, so you.
Yeah.
Yeah, and sort of records, other people that are making great music at the moment.
There's this band called Cull who we played with in Brighton, actually.
Oh, they were amazing. Yeah, the really two women, great. Right?
Yeah, yeah. I fucking love that band.
Amazing voice.
Like, yeah, yeah, like it's sort of almost operatic somehow.
Yeah. Okay, yeah. But it's just beautiful, really weird and gothy and sort of lo-fi. And yeah, their tape's absolutely amazing. Everyone should buy it. And they got this beautiful booklet as well with a CD. Yeah. You can get it from their website or the ICA and stuff like that. And it's just really, really good.
Yeah, Carl was my thing as well.
I'm sorry, didn't you?
Yeah, I suppose you didn't say nod as well, because nod usually come out of your mouth quite.
Yeah, that goes without saying, doesn't it?
Well, I don't know. I mean, I think I'm worried that nods are kind of going to stick at this level of everyone who kind of is into their scene. Is just going to get into them and then they're just going to plateau rather than blow up into the new Hawkwind, which they really are.
They had a new record out on Rocket this week, didn't they?
Yeah, got about a 10 grand sound today. Actually, I know. The thing is that with them, they're going into techno and that stuff, aren't they? You know, they're pushing, you know, everyone's gone psych because they don't want to go psych. They're moving away from it now. You know, they're exploring new avenues. They're tired of the crowd, they're tired of that. They want to move elsewhere because it's, you know, as people catch up to them, I suppose, they're now going different places.
What sort of techno is it? Is it kind of acid-y house, early 90s, Richie Horton?
I think they're still trying to form it, really. It's not a laptop inside, it's all analogue, it's all synths and things. And they're just playing, they've bought loads of equipment, they've bought a sound system. So instead of actually going to venues and just suffer, they've actually bought a sound system that can just go anywhere and create parties. So, like you said, like Hawkwind, yeah, they definitely have that free-spirited sort of, you know, approach of just being able to go and play wherever they want. But I think musically, they definitely move beyond that. But still, that idea and concept of playing to people is still definitely there. But they're just trying to make it even more in control of their own, release their own records, set up a tape label.
Yeah.
Nod. Very good.
Big Joan.
Big Joan.
They never really worked on record for me, which is a shame because their live show is fucking incredible.
Yeah,
is it?
It's really, really good.
It's one of those bands that they should be bigger than they are.
They should be massive.
And the Lift Men, actually, while we're here. So,
And SG as well. Yeah, well, obviously, there's loads of bands that are always kind of
Get the Blessing.
Get the Blessing, fucking awesome. Yeah,
but yeah, Big Joan, like, kind of one of my favourite records from last year. They should be
one of the biggest. I mean, because I've seen them, I think Hunting Lodge in Geisha played and Big Joan just shat all over them. And I was going to say, Geisha, I never pronounced it right, but they did a similar thing with the kind of going down the techno route as well, and their new sort of, what is it, sort of slash gabber thing.
Yeah.
Sleazy men.
Well, Tony's the sleaziest person alive, I think.
Yeah.
Okay. I don't know, I think kind of...
Steve's,
they're
kind of uneven. In a good way, obviously.
In a very lovely way.
Dark sleaze, yeah.
Okay, cool. Well, I've taken up enough of your time, thank you very much. Final missives?
I beat Kev a lot at chess.
Oh yeah, what's your favourite chess piece?
My favourite chess
piece? It's not the knight, is it?
Oh, no. It is the
Porn. Simple.
Sage words from Deej there.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.